week when we began this series of messages on the 23rd Psalm, one of the things I emphasized is that there's three different ways that the Bible refers to sheep. The first is it's used in the normal sense of a shepherd, a man who cares for literal four-legged animals. Many times the Bible uses the word shepherd in that reference. And then secondly, it is used of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is used this way in Psalm 23. As we look at the scriptures, there are three thoughts of Christ as a shepherd. The first one, and since we looked at these in more depth last week, I'm just summarizing. But John chapter 10, verse 10 and 11, he is called the Good Shepherd. And it refers to his death. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And then secondly, he is called the Great Shepherd in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. And this is a reference to his resurrection. And he provides everything for us as believers in the present time for Christian living based upon the power and the experience of his resurrection. And then thirdly, he's called the Chief Shepherd. And 1 Peter 5, 4 refers to his return, his coming again. And so he provides for our future as the shepherd. Thirdly, the word shepherd is used of pastors as we refer to them as under shepherds. They're instructed to care for Christ's sheep. Did this just turn off?
I don't think so.
Okay, very good. 1 Peter 5, 1 to 4. Okay. I don't know how you'll edit this out. Could we have a battery issue?
It could well be. It's a battery.
Oh, it just came on. And now you're hearing me?
Yeah.
All right, very good. The word shepherd is used of a pastor. And really, when we think of a pastor, I think that is his primary emphasis, to care for the sheep of the people that God has put him over. Now, we know he has an emphasis of... I'm going to let somebody check this.
No, that's what we need to do. And I probably have to get lithium batteries for it because it ain't for those pretty
cool. Okay. And so... we have a reference tonight that will be to the pastor that we'll come to. But what I want to look at tonight in the 23rd Psalm, as we continue the study, last week we saw Jesus Christ referred to as the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd. Now tonight we're going to look at seven areas of the helplessness of sheep. Now, I'm not a shepherd, okay? I didn't grow up in a farm, even around sheep. So I am relying upon other men who have had that experience and know some of the characteristics of the actual animal called a sheep. First of all, a sheep has no sense of direction. Unlike a cat or dog, sheep can get lost very easily, not able to find their way home. There's a childhood story regarding a sheep, and not Mary had a little lamb, but another one regarding sheep and the sheep being lost. And so... I could not think of it, and I see it's not coming to anybody else here as far as the little sheep that cannot find its way home. Little Bo Peep, yes.
There we are.
All right. Yeah. And so, but a sheep has no sense of direction. And so it is with the believer. You know, a cat or a dog, they're going to find their way home. Good night. We all have heard stories about cats who, you know, come home a year later and, you know, dropped off 500 miles away. But that's not the case with sheep. And so it is with believers. We cannot guide ourselves. But we must rely on Jesus Christ and His Word for guidance. Yeah. Jeremiah 17:9 would be a familiar verse, which goes on to emphasize the fact that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And what it's saying is we can't even know our own heart. I remember years and years ago a song, Let Your Conscience Be Your Guide. Don't run away and hide. Does anybody else remember that? Oh, my lands. Pat and I are the only ones that remember that song. Roy Rogers and Dale Evans used to sing that. Some of you remember them. You've seen them in black and white television. And so, but you see, our conscience is not adequate to be our guide. Right. Because it is seared. There's several descriptions of our conscience, and so we need the presence of Christ in our life, not only to save us and get us ready to go to heaven, but to live. Yes. We're helpless without our shepherd Jesus Christ. A sheep cannot cleanse itself. A cat or a dog will lick itself or roll in the grass to scrape something off, but sheep can't do that. They remain filthy unless a shepherd cleanses them. And this is, again, the application is to us as believers. Only the Lord can cleanse us as believer sheep. And He does this when we confess our sins. Repeat it with me if you know it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, He cleanses us. And so, thirdly, a sheep is helpless when it is injured. Now, remember, the first thing we said is that a sheep has no sense of direction. We need the Lord to give us a sense of direction. Now, surely as believers, as we learn, as we grow in a knowledge of the Word of God, we're able to take that and apply it to different experiences that we face, and we have decisions to make. We can apply the truth of the Word as we learn it, but we still need the presence of Jesus Christ to lead us, even as we apply that truth to decisions we must make. We cannot depend upon ourselves alone. We can't say, well, okay, Lord, now you taught me. I got a handle on it. I don't need you right now. No, just even saying that shows the ridiculousness of it. So we always need His help. And just like with cleansing, we need the Lord for cleansing. And a sheep is helpless when injured. A cat or a dog will lick his wounds to care for himself. But hurt sheep must be tended by the shepherd. One of the things that we'll come to when we begin to look next week at, we're going to go phrase by phrase. One of the phrases is descriptive of that picture you may have seen already of a shepherd with a lamb on its shoulders. And I'll show you how that comes into play in the 23rd Psalm, how that injured lamb was being cared for by the shepherd. And so it is. Sheep must be tended by the shepherd. Now, if you'll turn to Psalm 121, I have scripture there. Psalm 121. Psalm 121 verse 1 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Now, if you read only that verse, you could get the idea, as you have heard some people say already, well, I don't go to a church building. I just go out and I just look at God's creation and I look at nature. I remember witnessing to a fellow one time, and he liked to ride horseback. And he would tell me Sunday mornings, he gets his horse saddled up and he goes out on the trails and he gets up there in the mountains and he sits and he looks at all of the beautiful creation and he communes with God. And my response to him was, well, yeah, Jesus went out into the wilderness, but he also went into the temple. And so he didn't want to hear that. But, you know, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And you get the idea, my help comes from the hills. And if you were only reading verse 1, you'd be okay in coming up with that idea. But there's a verse 2. Because it goes on and the psalmist says, my help cometh from the Lord. So you see, he's not asking the question, from whence cometh my help? He is making a statement. He said, I look up to the hills. I see the creation of God. And my help comes from that creator. You see it, verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So, yes, he looks to the hills, and it's a reminder of God who created them. And the psalmist says, my help comes from that God, from the Lord.
Amen.
And so, we must remember that our help comes from the Lord. Just like a sheep that is hurt needs to be tended by the shepherd. Again, we'll see that in the 23rd Psalm. A sheep is defenseless. Many animals have some defense. Their sharp teeth, claws, or maybe like a cheetah, their speed to get away, or the ability to hide themselves. A chameleon, you know, that can change color to be anywhere. There's a picture. Many of you know that on Monday mornings, one of my side jobs is to clean at Willoughby's furniture store. And they have a picture there of a wolf. Okay? And the picture of the wolf is amongst some fall-colored leaves, I believe it is. And, you know, if you just glance at it, you may not see that it's a picture of a wolf. Okay? And there's a lot of animals that are able to, let me use the term, camouflage themselves in their environment. And but sheep are defenseless. They don't have any of those features. Psalm 35, as we think of this again, in making an application to us as believers, Psalm 35 and verse 1, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. We are defenseless against our enemy, Satan. We are defenseless against even the forces of people and how they might connive against us. There's more than one Christian who has found themselves on the short end of the stick when maybe within a family, the family decides to gang up on them. Or maybe at a place where they work. Okay, there's other co-workers who just, you know, they just get it in their mind they're going to give that Christian a hard time. And and it seems like there's nothing the believer can do or say to defend themselves. But that's where Psalm 35 comes in, where we ask God to fight against them that fight against me. And then the hard part is just to trust the Lord to do it.
Yes, sir.
Just to trust the Lord to take care of us. You know, I find it real easy to ask God to help and to intervene, but then to let it in His hands.
Yeah.
That's another matter. I can ask for His help, but it just seems like too often I figure that I could help Him out a little.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And I feel better then. But to trust the Lord. And then also, sheep cannot find food and water. While most animals can fend fairly well for themselves, a cat running outside, you know, even dogs running outside. I use those two common animals as illustrations of it. They can, you know, manage to get by. We had a neighbor in Harrisburg where we lived. It was an inner city church that I pastored, and we lived in, it was three houses in a row connected together, and we lived in the one end. When next to us was an eccentric old fella, and when his cat would run off, be gone for a couple weeks, when his cat came home, he was so glad to see him and figured that he was probably hungry, he'd feed him a porterhouse steak.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, now you know why the cat came back. And at the time, Pat reminded me that I said, someday I'm going to go out and sit in his porch step and meow. And so you know, most animals can fend for themselves to a sufficient degree to keep themselves alive. But sheep, they can find some food somewhere. If the water's there, if the food's there, they know enough to drink it and eat it. But that's another problem that sheep have. Sheep will wander from one tuft of grass to another tuft of grass, unconscious of where it may be taking them. Okay? As a matter of fact, the psalmist has warning about wandering from God. Now, there's times where the Bible gives us teaching about not running away from God, okay? But it also warns us about beware that we don't wander. You know, there's a lot of times as believers, we're not running from God. We're not intending to get away from God, but we participate in this thing. We entertain that thought. We start doing this kind of activity, and we end up wandering away from God. And it may not have been our intention to start with, but that's the end result. And that's how sheep are. The shepherd needs to guide them. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 that we need to beware of every wind of doctrine. And that's why we need the shepherd's guidance. And then sixth, sheep are easily frightened. The shepherd calms them with his songs in the night. And we know David was known as the sweet singer. Not only did he calm King Saul, but when he was a shepherd out in the fields, he would calm his sheep. And we can look at that as to the calming effect of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Of course, Jesus taught us in the Gospel of John, I believe chapter 14, chapter 16, that he would send another comforter. John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We can easily be frightened in this world. There's plenty of things to frighten us. And you know, here in this building, boy, I'm strong and I'm brave for God.
Right.
You know, standing with other Christians and talking, you know. And it's I'm sincere. But it's when I'm out there alone.
Yes, sir.
You see? Right. And it's when we're facing experiences that we didn't anticipate. That's when we can become easily frightened. And then seventh and last, but not the end of the message, is a shepherd's wool does not belong to the sheep. Sheep produce wool, but the shepherd owns it. A good shepherd has sheep because he feels this is his calling. His love for them, his desire to care for them, to protect them, to lead them to green pastures, to still waters. His desire is to breed them so as to have more, to be able to produce even more wool. He wants to have a yield a large crop of wool. Well, Jesus told us in John chapter 15 that he is the vine, we are the branches, and we are to bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit. And so, you see, we're his. And we bear fruit, but it's not our fruit, it's for Him.
Amen.
Okay? It's for His purposes, for His glory, His honor. Now we benefit when we do it.
Sure.
Just like the sheep, if that sheep is not sheared and it just grows and grows and grows, it can become a problem to the animal. And so it's to the animal's benefit to be sheared. And real spiritual production in the life of Christians belongs to the Lord. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But it's through Christ. But I said earlier regarding the under-shepherd. You see, this last aspect says a good shepherd has sheep because he feels this is his calling. He loves them. He desires to care for them, to protect them, to lead them to green pastures. How many times have we heard our under-shepherd plead with us, plead with people that they may know the good life, that they may know a different life than what they have? That there is something more in life than what they've experienced. We have heard that many times. And that's fitting for an under-shepherd. And I believe it's evidence that our under-shepherd cares for the sheep that God has entrusted to him. Don't you? That's you and I that he's caring for. And when he spends time studying the Word of God, when he spends time. Now he's more than once said how he'll come in and he'll walk down through and aisle by aisle, remembering who sits where and pray for them.
Yes.
You see? Now that's a good example.
Sure.
That's something you and I can do, isn't it? And it is a good thing that we would do, that we would pray for each other. And if we don't have some method to go pew by pew or to take the phone list and go down it, you'll end up just praying for those that you naturally have an affinity with or that you naturally have involvement with. Okay? And so we need to pray for each other. And we have an under-shepherd who not only told us that he does that, but he has taught us a way that we can do it. Amen? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's what we want. All right. Now, listen. Picture in your mind, if you will, a shepherd leading his flock over Judean hillsides. Just try and picture that. You've seen enough pictures of the Holy Land and how the hillside may be. Not big, tall mountains like we have and trees, but just that hillside, maybe some scrub brush on it. And he's been gone from home perhaps 2-3 months. And now he's ready to go back to market for his sheep to be sheared. It may take several days. It will take several days for him to reach home. For the sake of time, we'll not turn to it. But if you were to read in Genesis chapter 37, around verse 12, it gives the idea how far from home grazing could extend. I'll tell you what that passage is about. Jacob sent his son Joseph to find his brothers. And he went from Hebron to Shechem to find them. When he got to Shechem, they weren't there. Now, I looked in a Bible map, and Hebron to Shechem is about 50 miles. Now, remember, please, they walked. Today, we went up to Buffalo for Pat to get another x-ray, and I'll give you a report at prayer time. But we left Olean, we drove up Route 16, we got to South Wales where that four-lane Route 400 goes in. That's about 50 miles. Now think about walking that. Well, that's doable. But now wait a minute. He wasn't walking it like somebody would if they were just walking and trucking along to see how fast they could get there. He was taking care of a flock of about 60 to 75 sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Now they follow him, but there's always some sheep that find a better way to go. There's always some sheep that feel they know a better way than the shepherd knows.
That's right.
Know the analogy here within the church?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so you know, he was not only walking about 50 miles, the shepherd was. Now, Joseph went that far. He was walking alone. But his brothers who were tending sheep, they walked that far with sheep. Well, he got to Shechem and they weren't there, and he talked to somebody there at the information booth in Shechem, and they said, well, I believe they went to Dothan. Well, I looked at it, and Dothan's about another 20 miles. Well, now you see, when we got to 400, it's if we were to go into West Seneca, it would be about another 20 miles, or about another 18 miles. And so you see, you have a comparable part as far as the distance that was involved and the walking of it. Well, on the way home, it was the custom of a shepherd to meet at a given spot with other shepherds, usually a spring or a well. The sheep would, of course, be watered. And these shepherds hadn't seen another person for 2-3 months, maybe. Unless they happened to cross another one out in the fields. And so this was going to be their Facebook time. They were going to sit down and they were going to talk about what happened over the last few months, you know. And the place that I got this information from said that there would be 8 or 10 that would often meet. Their flocks of 60 to 75 sheep, they would all mingle together, drinking at the water, eating the green grass. Well, then, of course, it came time for a shepherd to leave. Yeah, and I just saw Tanya's eyebrows rise up. Are you wondering how that guy's going to get his sheep out of the whole big group? Yeah, that was my first thought, too. And the answer was simple. He would stand at the edge of the sheep, and he would call them. My sheep hear my voice. Okay? And I know my sheep by name. Turn to John chapter 10. Because this, John chapter 10, the Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verse 1 verifies this idea. Now remember, a lot of this information came from an evangelist who traveled in the Holy Land. He was an amateur archaeologist, so he liked to know some practical things about the life and the setting there. But John chapter 10 verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, here it is, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Well, this evangelist's wife, when they were at a place where there was several shepherds, and you know, and the sheep mingled together, she thought she would try it. And so the evangelist said, when she went up and stood at the edge of where the sheep were all mingled in together, and she called them. And the evangelist said the shepherds that were there just laughed and looked at each other, because they knew nothing was going to happen. She called just like a shepherd would call, but nothing happened. Because you see, they did not know her voice.
Amen.
And then she stepped back, and then they saw a shepherd come up, and he called his sheep, and heads began to go up throughout that whole intermingled flock. And he continued to call, and they wind their way through the mass of sheep coming to him, and he, of course, standing off enough to give them room to come to him. And so it is. We need to follow our Lord. Verse 5 of John 10, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Do you know the shepherd's voice? Do you follow the shepherd's voice? That's what he expects from us. All right, let's take some prayer requests now. Let me give you some that we have here. And the missionary we want to pray for this week is the Wellspring Ministries, okay? The Wellspring Ministries. Be sure to call their name. Yes. We lost it again?
Turn it off.